in partnership with InTheValleyChook.com. It's the Go Show, your original LSU podcast, coming to you on a Thursday night, October 21st, LSU-Auburn week. Mean something again. I'm your host, Kerry Muntz. You know me as Big Lee. With me tonight in Ponchatoula, not at the Washington Parish Fair, is Mr. Patrick Morris.
Yes, hey, thank Pat. God I'm not at the Washington Parish Fair.
Patrick, it's a sacrifice for Pat not to be there, to be on the airwaves with us. You have no idea what he said off air. He said, let's get this freaking thing over with so I can drive down to Franklin tonight. But he said he can't wait to take in some of the
festivities. Hang out with the meth addicts. I cannot wait.
Pat's going to pay his dues tomorrow night, as a matter of fact. But he will be at his house on his couch, ready to kick over some ice chest for the LSU Auburn game. 2:30 CBS. So we are stuck with Vern and Gary. Not really looking forward to that. But we will make do. As I stated at the top of the program, this is the Go Show in association with AndTheValleyChook.com, part of SB Nation Sports Blogs. That website is AndTheValleyChook.com. It's AndTheValleyChook. The Go Show, you can find us there. You can on the homepage of Anna Valley Shook, if you scroll down on the left hand side, you will find the podcast player that you've always seen on the old Go Show website. You click on that, pull up all the show archives. This show will, you know, any recent shows, once it gets posted, it's right at the top of the page. You can also access us by downloading us to your what's the thing called? Your iPod. Your iPod or your iPhone, for that matter. If you subscribe to us from iTunes, and also other ways to get in touch with us, email the show, goshow@gmail.com, and also go to Facebook and become our friend. And I got to say, since I've been pumping us up as far as the Facebook fan base goes, we're growing like 3 and 4 or 5 fans a week every week on a Facebook thing. So,
I even made a comment today on Facebook.
Oh, did you really?
So, oh, yes.
It's pretty cool. I mean, it's another way to keep a tab on all everything that's going on the site too. Because every article that gets posted, podcast posts a link to it to the Facebook homepage. So if you'd rather access us on Facebook and look at us that way, links to every article is on there. And you got to read a good one by Poser, who's unable to join us tonight. He wrote a real good article about the Auburn game today. I just read it before I got online. Before we got on the phone here tonight to do a show. So let's dive right into it. It's Auburn week. This game means something again. Not that it hasn't meant a lot of things in the past. You know, Auburn was down last year. We were kind of down last couple of years, even though we were still, you know, decent. But I'm extremely, extremely excited about this game. McNeese State game excluded. I don't really want to dive too much into that just basically because we're short on time tonight because we got a little bit of a late start. But just to recap that game, and Patrick, I'm gonna let you help me out with this. 32-10, LSU wins it. I did not keep any eye on it whatsoever. I checked it on my phone. I was earning brownie points as I was at a wedding reception. So, Pat, I'm gonna let you kind of take over and kind of give me your thoughts about what you watched Saturday night, and you know, what you took from that.
Quick thoughts, I didn't take much other than the fact that we didn't get hurt. We played some younger players. We tried. The biggest thing I took out of that game was we attempted to get Jordan Jefferson on track, and it didn't work. That's the biggest thing that I took out that game. I mean, everybody, I know they were probably watching the game saying, why are they keep putting Jordan Jefferson in? Jared Lee let him down the field. He's got the touchdowns. He's got this. My opinion is they kept playing him because they needed to try and get him out of a funk, get a little confidence against McNeese State, and it just did not work. I'm hoping, for the love of God, that he comes out of it a little bit this week because he is going to play a few series. But and that's the biggest thing. I mean, defense, I mean, that's stifling. They did drive down, but we had a lot of reserves in. We were playing a lot of young players, trying some different things. So, you know, when push came to shove, and no pun intended, our offensive line just took over the game and said, okay, let's just put it away. Let's win this game, and let's go home. Let's get ready for Auburn. That's, in a nutshell, that was a McNeese game.
Right, and from what I saw, and like I said, I didn't watch anything, but just from what I read and looking at the box score the next morning, I guess one of the positives that you take out of that game is Michael Ford. 88 yards on 10 carries, I think. I think he scored once or twice in the game. So I expect to see him get some carries on Saturday here coming up in a couple of days. So, you know, but, you know, overall, you know, there's nothing you can gain by playing a Division I AA team. You got – it don't matter. It would not have mattered if the score was 52-0 nothing. Somebody would have found something to complain about. It's just those type of games. It's kind of, I kind of equate it to spring games. You go in there, you kind of fine tune some things, and you don't want to walk away with any kind of major injuries. That's what you're kind of basically working on. You want to get some young guys some playing time, no major injuries, and just, you know, get out of there with a win, and you know, keep it. And they kept it pretty vanilla, which is the game Saturday was everything I pretty much expected it to be. I know I said last week that, you know, we thought we'd win by 26-30. That didn't happen. But at the same time, I'm not really too concerned that we only beat them 32-10. Because there's some Division I-A teams that have lost, or some Division I AA teams this year that
there's a reason that you and I both did not go to the game.
Yeah.
You know, so. If, Grand Joe, we put in our subs, put it that way.
Yeah, we did. That's a good analogy. We followed suit with the LSU football team did, and kind of took a lackadaisical approach. You know, yeah, we got our younger guys some action. Also,
exactly. You know, they needed to experience, you know, what it was like, because they are the reserves in waiting. You know, professionals,
right.
Amateurs, they need to step up. They needed some experience to step up their game for this weekend, because they're really going to have to be on it.
Mm-hmm. You're right, because I mean, this is we're going to Auburn. Jordan Hare, never really a easy place to play. LSU's had some success there the last couple of years. I mean, we beat them. Let's see, we beat them in 08. 06 was the famous, you know, the non-pass interference
of the
whole thing.
The thing that's kind of out there on this is that was Jared Lee's basically debut.
You're right. Yeah, Andrew Hatch went down early in that game with that injury. Jared Lee had that very, very bad first half.
Yep.
And
came
back
in
the second half.
It was great.
Yeah. Yeah, he came back in the second half and led us down through, I think, two touchdown passes in the second half. I remember one to, I want to say it was Terrence Tolliver, early in the game. I remember a 40-yard pass playing in the little throw that Brandon LaFell late in the game to for the go-ahead touchdown. So he's got some good memories there, and I think he's going to build on that. Now, the crazy thing is, as bad as Jordan Jefferson looks, and as much as everybody's complaining, and he's been named a starter Saturday night, but, you know, take that with a grain of salt, because all that means is he's going to play the first series, maybe the first two series, and then Jared Lee's going to come in. But to execute our offensive game plan, if we're going in with the same mentality that we went in against Florida as far as what we need to do to be successful moving the ball on offense, we need Jordan Jefferson to play well. And, you know, maybe we can avoid a early first quarter interception this go around. Maybe he's got that all of his system. But truly, if he's in there the first couple of series, I'm just going to be kind of waiting for it.
Whole key on offense, well, two keys. You know, are we going to pass the ball efficiently and not short arm the ball when we do pass the ball? Are we going to hit our guys on a short pass and let them make the plays? And secondly, are we going to control their one guy on the defensive line?
Yeah, that's right. And whatever Jordan Jefferson needs to do, if he needs to channel his 2009 Jordan Jefferson versus Auburn game, he needs to do that. Because if you go back and watch the game film from last year, that was by far.
But we dominated.
Set aside from the Georgia Tech bowl game, that was the best game I've ever seen Jordan Jefferson play, was that Auburn game last year in Tiger Stadium. So whatever he's got to do to find that, you know, find that again, you know, he needs to do that. But I think we honestly, it's crazy as it sounds, I think we need him, not necessarily to throw the ball, but we need him in the same kind of manner that we did against Florida. We need him to be, you know, on the field, and we need his head in the game, and we need him in the running game to be successful and keep that already poor defense off balance so we can really tear up the secondary, which I think we can do, which I know we can do if we're executing properly. So that's kind of where I stand on that issue. I'll let you speak to that.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a good thing. Let Jefferson keep starting, whatever. Let him go in the game. Let Jared Lee get a feel for how fast the speed of the game is. You know, every defense has a different speed about it. you know, he saw McNeese's speed when he started the game. Okay, you go in there, this is what I'm going to be looking for speed-wise from the players. You go in there against Auburn, well, you got a totally different defense. Okay, where is the speed coming from in this game? Is it coming from my D-line? Does the secondary have a lot of speed? What am I watching for? It gives him a quick pace, a first-hand look. You can look at it on film all you want, but hell, who knows? It's like us watching a reality TV show. We know it's supposed to be a reality TV show, but it's all staged. You know, same thing here. If you see it in person, it is totally different than watching it on a TV screen. You can know the coverages. You can know where they're supposed to line up. But until you see, okay, this guy is a half inch taller, like they list him in a program. It says he's 265 in a program, and then you step out on the field, he's only 235. You say, oh, shit, I got this guy. I'm twice his size. Same difference. He gets a good look at it. He gets in there. And then the other thing is, I think the team is starting to figure out that, okay, we're going to go through the series with Jordan Jefferson. We're going to make our reads, figure out what we're going to do. Then when Jared Lee steps on the field, you see that extra step. So you get past the initial emotion of the game. Then he brings in that second wave of emotion almost, so to speak, that he brings, you know, he brings in, okay, now I'm the leader of this team. We're going to drive down the field and score now. They've done it in three games, and you almost feel like, okay, he's in the game. We're going down the field. That I kind of like that scenario a little bit.
Yeah, and same here too. And the reason why I say Jordan Jefferson is vital is because of what he can bring to the table as far as his, you know, in what I call what we need to do with him is more of a Chris Leak, Tim Tebow approach 2006-wise was, you know, Leak was more the thrower. Tebow came in and just ran it. And that's more what we need to see with Jordan Jefferson. I know I've stated it on the show a couple of times. I know we've talked about it, just kind of just shooting the bull a little bit. But, you know, I think it's important in this game Saturday that we try not to get into a shootout with Auburn because
I don't think you have to worry about a shootout with Auburn. I really do not think – we may give up a big play. Now, we're going to give up a big play. I'll guarantee you that.
I agree.
But we're not going to get into a shootout with Auburn. Our defense is too damn good to get into a big-time shootout.
And that's what
unless
I'm saying.
Unless we're totally screwing up, we are not going to – unless we give them the ball on the 5-yard line twice like we did against like we did against McNeese even, give them the ball on the 5, they're going to score.
And what I mean by that is we don't need to – just because they have a poor secondary, we don't need to go and look for the big play all the time. I think it's important that we you know, try to establish – a good running game. I know Auburn's strength of that defense is a defensive line. They have that one guy who's pretty good. I can't think of his name right now.
We recruited him heavily. Les Miles was talking about him, but he recruited him very heavily.
Yeah.
I mean, if we don't go down to – I would like to see – not necessarily need a 13-14 play drive. We talked about this a little earlier. But even if it's just an 8-play drive or a 9-play drive where you can get a big chunk of yards, you can get a good 30-yard to 40-yard play – you know, not necessarily score off on it, but, you know, you're running the clock a little bit. If you take 4 or 5 minutes off of every drive, hell, you're doing something. Because that game against Arkansas, which I did see a lot because I'm glad I didn't go to the McNeese game, it allowed me to watch that, was, okay, here it is. We got the ball. Boom, touchdown. They got the ball. Boom, touchdown. There was no defense. It was crazy in that game. So, we're going to see some defense. We're going to see some stops. We're going to see some third down calls. We're going to see some fourth down calls. Coaches are going to have to make a decision in this game. You know, and our gambler guy, you know, who knows what decision he's going to make. I don't think anybody in the country can predict what he's going to do. You know, and in a way, that's a good thing. In a way, it pulls our hair out. But, you know, that's the kind of game I think we're going to see. And that's the kind of game I hope we see.
Yeah, and let's go ahead and talk about the elephant in the room, which is Cam Newton. Pat, what do you think we need to do defensively? And I'm kind of curious to hear your opinion on this. I've got a couple of differing opinions about it, and I'll share mine after y'all hear from you. What do you think the best way is to go about defending Auburn and Cam Newton on Saturday?
You know, the more and more I think about it, at first I was thinking, okay, let's put a spy on him. You know, that was my first thought. Okay, let's pick the, you know, outside linebacker or safety and, okay, you're Cam Newton's spy. But and then thinking about it again and the way he's playing and watching some of the things that he was doing, not necessarily a spy. One of two things. Let's make him beat us with his arm for one thing. That's one thing. Second thing is, if we do get pressure up the, which I, this is, you know, don't change your game plan as a defense. Get your pressure up the middle. Nevis, I hope he owns their line, because then you know for sure they aren't going to run the ball. They're going to have to pass it or something, or Cam Newton's going to have to make a play. If he has to make every play in a game, by the time he hits the third quarter, he's going to be dead. You know, no offense, he is not going to make it through that entire game if he's got to make every play trying to outrun LSU's defense. Because you got safeties on LSU's defense, and that's where the key is going to lie. If we get pressure like we've been doing, coming up the middle with Nevis, you know, or whoever else, that safety or that outside linebacker, whoever, whatever scheme they're going to run on that play, they've got to force him to one side, whatever his weak side is. And I'm going to guess, since he's a right-handed quarterback, let's make him go left. You know, let's make him go left. That way, if he's got to throw the ball, he's got to turn his whole body.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so if he goes left, well, there's your strong side safety. He's got to be the one to come up and at least slow him down to the rest of the team, and you got to gang tackle. To me, that would be my game plan.
Yeah, I'm all for. I agree with you about it's. It's quite simple, and I'm not really a big fan of the whole. You know, I don't know if you want to go the route of the whole spy thing. I mean, if you want to get creative and do some different things with Peterson, because let's face it, they're not gonna. When they do throw, they only threw the ball what? How many times they threw the ball against Arkansas? 14 times, something like that. I mean, it was.
They're not gonna throw the ball against Peterson for sure. I mean,
Let's do some different things with Peterson. Let's move him around in some different places.
He's
maybe
big enough
even
to
like
take
a,
that guy down.
Maybe as like coming in with like a smallish weak side linebacker sometimes in some certain situations. But you know, getting defensive pressure up the middle with Nevis and the other guys is key. And what we got to watch out for is the patented Auburn. You know, we'll take him high and somebody will come in low and take Drake Nevis's legs out. Let's watch out for that play. That could very well happen.
That one. Exactly.
Yeah. Disrupting the flow of their spread attack by, you know, we get a push on an offensive line and we're pushing guys into the backfield and it's disrupting the flow of the spread attack a little bit, and we contain on the outside and we don't let him get outside the pocket, especially to his right, like you say, because that's his, you know, the right side is the side that he's probably most comfortable throwing from. Because he's better throwing out of the pocket than he is throwing in the pocket. When he gets on a move, he's more effective. Because guys, it's a simple theory to that. Because guys are so worried about him, defenses are so worried about him running that they just forget about the guy they're covering, and that's how guys are getting so wide open. It's not that Cam Newton's such a great guy rolling out of the pocket and throwing a football. It's not like he becomes all of a sudden Johnny Unitas when he gets out of the pocket. You know, it's not like he gets wings and he becomes Joe Montana. It's because defenses are pursuing him and forgetting about the guys they're covering, and that's how guys
get. Honestly, that's discipline. We can man up on their receivers. We don't need necessarily help on their receivers, not with our cornerbacks. So we can man up on them as long as our men, you know, Peterson, Mateo, the safeties, whoever's got the coverage, as long as they stay with them the entire time. The hell with everybody else until he crosses that line. Then you come up, you stay with your guy, and then you let the linebackers take care of the rest. I mean, we got the linebackers to do it.
And that's why, you see a lot of times in our. And we play that weird defensive set sometimes. Well, I think we go like with three down linemen, two linebackers, and six DBs in some situations. And we run a lot of, you know, secondary, you know, defensive back blitzes out of that. We see Mateo coming off the corner. But instead of doing that, maybe showing blitz and staying in contain to keep Cam Newton inside the pocket and keep him from roving around a little bit, I think that's going to be the key. I think you're going to see a lot – you're not going to see a whole lot of blitzing from Chavis on Saturday night for that very reason, because you don't want Cam Newton scrambling around, because that's the way he can kill you.
And I don't know how smart he is. You know, granted, you know, he went from Florida to JC, so you don't know how smart the guy is to actually read coverages for a change. So if we can fake that and get him thinking, oh, crap, maybe I got to go here with the ball, maybe I got to start running here real quickly, put his head – kind of like Michael Vick when he first came on the scene, his first instinct, let's just take off and run. Well, if you let him, okay, you fake that, okay, I know that I'm going to look one time and I'm going to look to run. Well, all of a sudden you're backing out of that and he's got nowhere to run because everything is surrounded. Well, then hell, what does he got to do? Then he's got to check down and find somebody. That's when you're going to get your big play interceptions and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no doubt. I mean, that's the basic, you know, when you strategize for the game. I mean, that's, in my opinion, that's what, I think that's what needs to happen. You know, as far as other threats that they have. I mean, you look at Michael Dyer, their other running back, who's got 400 yards and some change running the football as well. They have a couple of, you know, a couple of guys in receiving, you know, receiving court that are decent. You know, nobody that's huge threats. But, you know, Darvin Adams is the guy who's leading receiving for them. Not really setting the world on fire or anything like that. But, you know, I expect the defense to, like you said, I mean, a big play. I mean, we're susceptible to the big play. It's just a matter of trying to neutralize that, you know, keeping a big play to a minimum is going to be really key. We can't have Auburn going off kind of like North Carolina did in the second half against us early in the season. I think we've shown that we're not the team that played in the second half against North Carolina on the defensive side of the ball. So, you know, that being said, I mean, I think it's pretty much the gist of it for us defensively. I mean, offensively, we kind of want to turn back to that a little bit, Patrick. You know, we talked about being able to control the clock, controlling the line of scrimmage, you know, establishing some long drives so the defense can get the necessary rest to do the things they want to do to contain Newton and that Fulton Auburn offense. I think it's really key, and I think it could be your typical type LSU game, which could be a very boring, a lot of running, but there's going to be some opportunities there for us to throw the ball, and I think we're going to take advantage of it. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think so, because, I mean, our receivers, they played against, you know, they haven't played against cupcakes. I mean, they played against some decent people. So, you know, I look a lot for the slants, a short, quick passing game, especially Lee pounding the ball in there. You know, we're going to take a shot or two down the field, granted, because we got the big guys, and we just can't underthrow the ball. We cannot let Jefferson make that throw, because everything he's been throwing has been underthrown. I think Russell Shepard's going to go off on this game. That's my gut feeling. I didn't say, you know, it's just feeling that he's going to go off.
Yeah, he's been quiet.
Over 100 yards rushing.
Yes, I mean, since the Vandy game, when he broke that long run on that same play that he ran for the touchdown against North Carolina on that end-around play, he's been relatively quiet this year. You haven't heard or seen too much from him. He's been in the game. You know, he's been getting his touches. You know, that's one thing we're not complaining about this year is the lack of Russell Shepard touches like we did last year. But he's had his opportunities, and he's averaging something like 6.5 yards a carry when he gets the ball running football. So it's not like, you know, a lot of times we see they run the same kind of basic thing, and teams are kind of keen on that. And I think it's time that we kind of develop some new, different ways to get him the ball.
He's under the radar right now. You know, I hate to say it, but he's under the radar because Tolliver's come alive in the past couple games. The focus is on the quarterback, the running game with Ridley, and now you got, you know, Ware and you got Murphy and all them. The focus has been on them, so to speak. Shepard's been getting his touches, but quietly in the last few games. I'm telling you, mark my words, and I'm calling it right here at 8:49 on a freaking Thursday before the Auburn game, number 6 versus number 4, when LSU's probably going to go in there and win. Russell Shepard will go off for easily over 100 yards.
You say 100 total yards? Or 100
plus rushing.
Okay, 100 rushing yards. Okay. I like it. So, I mean, for a couple of big plays with Russell Shepard there, too. I kind of like where you're going. And, you know, let's kind of go away from the game breakdown a little bit. I think we've covered that pretty decently, like we always do. I want to speak a little bit about what we're kind of hearing this week in the media. And like I said, people who listen to the show, please go to the site and read Poz's article, because it pretty much echoes the sentiments I've been hearing all week on TV, and what I've been thinking and shutting the TV for is the comparisons they're making between Auburn and LSU right now, and how, you know, we look at Auburn, we look at what Auburn's done so far this year, and they're gritty, they're toughing it out, they're winning close games, they're making the plays that need to be made to win. But LSU's getting lucky. You know, LSU's lucky play here, lucky play there.
What's the average margin of victory, Mr. Carrymont?
What's that?
If we're playing such close games, and so are they, what has been both of us, and this is a good stat, the average margin of victory for Auburn, the average margin of victory for LSU?
Right off the top of my head, I'd say the average margin of victory for us is probably a little bit higher, because we beat Mississippi State worse than they did.
Exactly.
They only played Clemson, their non-conference opponent, to 3 points. They had to come from behind to win that game.
Exactly.
Kentucky was only a 3-point game that he beat Arkansas by 22. But
they're at like 14, and we're at like 12 or something crazy like that.
Okay, so they're not. So they are ahead of us, but not by much.
Yeah. So, but everybody's making these comparisons. Like their offense is just unreal because they scored 63 points against a team that didn't show up to play defense.
Yeah. That wanted to get their shootout with them. That was their downfall.
If you look at total points scored this season by the offense, yeah, then you can say it. But, you know, if you look at average margin of victory, how they're winning big and we're only winning, but that's a bunch of crap.
Yeah, oh yeah, without question. You know, I mean, it's just crazy. I mean, and the talk all week is just, again, about, you know, the few guys that I hear picking LSU, they're not picking LSU based on, you know, what we're going to do to outplay Auburn. It's going to be because Les Miles is going to pull another trick. That's all you hear him saying. Oh, Les Miles is going to find another trick in his bag, and LSU is going to come out with another victory. And it's nothing about what LSU is doing right on defense to contain teams and, you know, anything about Auburn. You don't hear anything about how LSU went to the Swamp and completely dominated Florida. And if not for two turnovers and a special teams blunder, we win that game by 21 points with ease. So.
Well, yeah, and what it's going to be. And actually, you know, this may play – God, I hate to, like – because you don't know what Miles is thinking. But you almost say, is this really like Rain Man? Does he have a master plan to throw all the attention on him and off of his team so that they can rally and just do their thing?
Well, whatever he's doing, it's working because this team will go through a wall for him.
They will.
And that's a good thing. I mean,
he's taking bullets. It's like the guy in the front line that's going to stand up in front of a firing squad and take the bullets so that the rest of the people can survive, you know?
Yeah. It's like we said 2 weeks ago. This team is kind of like banding together and kind of using the fans and the media as kind of like their motivational, you know, as motivational tactics. And that's fine by me. If I have to be the enemy for this football team to come out and play well, I'm all for it. And if they come out and they win tonight, I mean, on Saturday, I'll admit I was wrong because I said it.
Uh-oh.
You there, Wee?
Houston, we have a technical difficulty. I think we got cut off. Hopefully his wife isn't beating him. Sorry about that, Nicole. Just a funny reference.
Hey,
damn, he was getting into it there, too.
Hello?
Hello, Wee.
Maybe he got into it so much that he was, like, steaming up the phone.
I somehow muted myself. I have no idea how I did that.
Exactly.
Nice.
Exactly what we just said. You got so into it, you were so animated, you were like, crap, muted the phone, or you steamed up the phone so much it went off.
Yeah, I hit something. But and I forgot what I was talking about, what LSU was using as far as motivational tactics to
against the media.
To be successful. And, yeah, if I got to be an enemy, and like I said, I said at the beginning of the year that, you know, I thought we'd start out at least 4-0, 5-0. But I thought it'd be the second half of the year where we'd kind of fall apart, kind of like we saw last year. But And I will come out, and we come out, because I said we'd lose to Florida, and I said we'd lose to Auburn on the road, and I said we'd lose to Alabama at home. Now, we come out, we beat Auburn on the road Saturday. I will come on this show next week and say I was wrong about this football team, and I'm already kind of admitting I'm wrong about this football team, because this team, what I said were the problems with this football team at the beginning of the year, which was leadership and offensive identity, and I'm still hearing guys in national media say we don't have an identity on offense. I think we do. We run the football. We're a good running football team. We're 30 something in the country and running the football. We run for 190 yards a game. We're a running football team. We're a running football team that is slowly becoming a better passing team with Jared Lee in the game. That's our identity. We're a boring offense. That's fine by me. We have a really great defense. Our defense is – I thought our defense would be good going into the season. I had no idea they'd be this phenomenal. And that's what's keeping us in games. And if we can finally – you know, bring a game together, we can eliminate all the mistakes, all the turnovers, all the stupid penalties, and not shoot ourselves in the foot. I mean, we're going to continue to win. That's Auburn. I don't care. I mean, Alabama, too. I mean, that's what I'm seeing, and I'm pleased as hell to be wrong about this football team right now.
Oh, hell yeah. I mean, but I don't know. You still – and, Podcat, I don't know. We're going to have to eventually, I guess maybe after this game if we win it, go back and pull up the original show we did with our predictions and predict, because I know I said 10-2. I just can't remember who I said we'd lose to. I did say, but I knew I said we were going to lose two. And I'm, yeah, I guess JJ's prediction of 6-6.
6-6. Yeah.
Done. Yeah. It's done.
But
I'm
going to
make State deal with on that.
And I cannot remember who I said we'd lose to, and I'm hoping it wasn't Auburn.
Well, we'll have a bye week next week. I think that's the perfect opportunity to go back and look over the past and see how exactly wrong we were. That's a perfect idea for next week.
Or how right we were.
None of us were right about this team. Come on.
I like to say that I'm right. You're never wrong. Podcat, there's never a wrong answer. If there is a wrong answer, you change the rules to make it the right answer.
There you go. But you know what else is pretty cool to see is how dominant the SEC West is. You look at the SEC East right now, and you know, and mathematically Georgia still has a chance. Although I mean, albeit they already played and lost to South Carolina, but I mean, Florida can run the table the rest of the way and still represent the East in Atlanta.
That's nothing. Technically, Vandy's only a half game out of first place.
Vandy's still in it. I mean, this will
be a separation weekend because there are some games out there that are really going to separate people.
Right. I mean, the SEC East is basically what the SEC West was 10 years ago. Like, you know, in 2001 when we went to Atlanta with a 5-3 conference record. That's kind of what you're seeing. It's actually kind of going to hurt the SEC perhaps long term if you get into a situation, you know, late in the season, and there's multiple teams, multiple BCS teams that are undefeated. And, you know, you're not going to have that top five, top ten SEC matchup in Atlanta this year, you know, unless South Carolina gets on a roll and steamrolls and ends up back in the top ten by year.
That's what will have to happen.
Yeah, because, I mean, Florida's out of the top 25 now. So, that, I mean, with a little bit, about a month and a half left in the season, they're going to have to run a table just to get back into the top 15. So, and they have no easy cakewalk because Florida State at the end of the year is not going to be an easy game for them. So, you know, it's still a lot of football to be played, but the SEC West is just dominant. Us, Auburn, and Alabama all in the top 10. Mississippi State's ranked now 5-2. You know, I'm a little bummed out that they beat Florida, but at the same time, you know, you look at Mississippi State's total body of work and what they've done so far this year. They've beaten Florida. They played Auburn to within 3 points. Played us tough, but we beat them by 22. They haven't played. They still haven't played Arkansas, Alabama yet. So, and of course, they haven't played Ole Miss yet. So, you know, we'll see what it holds for them. You know, going forward, hopefully they keep on winning. That's what you'd like to happen. Now, you don't want to see them start losing games after they've already beaten Florida, which would really put a damper on what we did. So,
well. I don't know. I mean, there's not much more you can say about this game. Let's just play it now. You know,
I'm ready. We're
play it. I'm ready to get it on.
Yeah, we're about 30 something miles away now. So, I'm pretty pumped up and ready for this game. I mean, I've said my piece. Patrick, you got anything else you want to add? Is anything else that we're anything flying under the radar that we didn't talk about?
Sorry, say that again.
Anything we missed in relation to this game?
No, everything seems to be fine. No, there's no surprising late injuries or any other nonsense going on this week.
We'll be good. I mean, really, let's just play the game, and I'm sure we'll have a lot to talk about after it, for sure. But, you know, of course, we have 2 weeks to talk about that. So, and that's the other good thing. We have this game. You know, so we can gear up everything we got for this game. Throw the kitchen sink at them because you got 2 weeks to recover.
All right, y'all ready to move on to picks?
Let's
pick our noses and pick some games.
For everybody who's listening, as you can imagine, the Oregon-UCLA game is not on the docket this week because
thank God Oregon's kicking their butt.
Yeah, it's only 22-3. It's not even halftime yet.
Yeah, exactly.
compared to the what Oregon games usually look like, UCLA's holding them pretty tough.
Oh, well.
Yeah. All right, let's get going. First one up, a little bit of a sleeper game in the Mountain West, Air Force at TCU. Now, TCU is a 19-point favorite, but I've seen a couple of highlights from Air Force games. I don't think that that's a good spread for this game.
You know, thanks. I'm going with Air Force to cover. That's a lot of points. Air Force is playing, you know, somewhat decent this year. You know, TCU's still good. They're good like they were last year, but still 20 points, 19 and a half, whatever it is. I think Air Force has got enough offense to cover that spread. So I'm picking Air Force.
Yeah, I got to go with Air Force too. I mean, I think TCU, well, for one thing, Air Force is going to run the ball a lot. You know, because of the offense they run, so that's going to eat up a lot of clock. TCU is going to get a little anxious because they're not scoring like they normally would. I think that keeps the game close. So you're going to see some mistakes by TCU trying to force the issue.
All right, next up we got a good traditional SEC game, Bama at Tennessee. Bama's a 16-point favorite.
These are two teams that really hate each other. I mean, they don't like each other at all. Which their fans don't. I know that. It fits right in the mold of the SEC West, the good SEC West, SEC East rivalries. Bama, since the South Carolina game, well, it hadn't looked like Bama. Expecting maybe to kind of come back to form. I don't know. Tennessee's kind of, since they lost to us, is kind of reeling a little bit. But Tennessee at home, 16.5. Bama's offense kind of struggling. I like Tennessee to cover this at home.
I have to go against you here. I mean, I think Bama with 2 weeks to prepare. I think they're going to come out of the game.
They played last week against Ole Miss.
Oh, well, like I said, 2 weeks to prepare. you know, I think they're going to come out of this gate smoking. I think they're just going to ram it down Tennessee's throat with the running game. I really do. And I think they're going to cover the spread easily.
All right, next one up, 7-0, eighth-ranked Michigan State on the road at surprisingly 5-1 Northwestern. Michigan is a 6-point favorite.
They skipped over Georgia and Kentucky for any reason?
We'll come back to it.
Okay, that's fine. This is a Michigan State looking ahead to Iowa. I'm not saying Northwestern is going to win. But Northwestern is going to cover this spread and potentially upset Michigan State Spartans.
God, I'd love to see that happen, but I'm not going to pick it this week. I'm going to wait till Iowa beats them next week. So I'm going to take Michigan State to cover the spread and win this game.
All right, as we said, going back a little bit, Georgia at Kentucky. Kentucky is a 3-point favorite. You know, this really settles who will stay in the race for the SEC East with this game.
I'm going to correct it. Kentucky is Georgia's a 3-point favorite.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I know. I know this thing confuses your podcast. So if you ever want me to just take over calling these games, I will. But I gotta tell you, I like Kentucky's grit. And they've been down. I mean, Auburn had them down by, 14 or 17 a couple weeks ago. South Carolina was beating them 28-10. They came back and almost beat Auburn, and they did come back and beat South Carolina last week. But ever since A.J. Green's been back for Georgia, they've kind of rebounded. And I said it last week, and I continue saying it. A.J. Green's going to single-handedly give Mark Richt another year. And I think Georgia's going to win this game and cover the 3.5.
Yeah, I have to agree with you, too. I think Georgia's found themselves a little bit with A.J. Green coming back. It's kind of like that, you know, even though he's not the quarterback, he is the leader and the quarterback of that team. They rally around him. He says, let's go. They're going to go. Plus, the other receivers are now opened up. That guy King that was playing last week really kind of stepped up a little bit. So I think Georgia's actually playing a little better ball. I still don't think Rick keeps his job, but I think they win this game, too, and cover the spread.
All right, next, Ole Miss travels to Arkansas. Arkansas is a 10-point favorite.
What is the status of Ryan Mallett?
I have no idea, but if you give me 5 seconds, I can find out.
I'm going to pick this game without Mallett while you're waiting, Kerry.
What's that?
I'm going to pick it without Mallett while you're waiting. Arkansas is going to win this, and they're going to cover the spread no matter what.
Okay. Well, that quarterback last week that filled in for Mallett looked pretty good. Ole Miss's defense probably ain't any much better than Auburn's defense, so I kind of tend to agree with you. I'm kind of leaning towards Arkansas at home anyway, so but I'm just curious what the status of the Mallett is. But I like Arkansas to cover this and win this by two touchdowns.
So therefore, podcast research is moot.
Yeah, I know. I just made him look at the shit enough.
It's like a computer that comes out in the market. It's obsolete already.
All right. Well, while he's looking it up, I'm going to read off the next one here, Patrick. We got Nebraska traveling to Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State is Nebraska's favorite by 5.5. What you got?
Oh, I think I easily have Nebraska. They're going to be looking for somebody. If it's anything like Bo Pelini's past coaching experience, he's going to look for somebody, pardon the French, ass to kick. Because, you know, losing that last game, the way he's fired up as a coach, they're going to whoop their – I mean, they're just going to beat the crap out of him.
Yeah, this is like last week, and you're going to see it for the next – you know, you're going to see it from here on out for the rest of the season. You're going to see some of these teams that you wouldn't really expect them to be unbeaten at this point in the season. You're going to see some of these teams start to fall. Starting with Oklahoma State this week, and Nebraska's going to come out, like you said, they're going to lay the wood to Oklahoma State because they were a good team. They won a roll, and then all of a sudden Texas shows up in Lincoln, having lost to UCLA and Oklahoma. Everybody wrote off Texas, and they come into Lincoln, and they beat them. So
Nebraska's got to reestablish himself to get the national picture here.
They're kind of smart a little bit. They're going to take it out on the Cowboys on Saturday. So I like Nebraska as well.
All right, just to give an update, Brian Mallett will be starting in this game.
And that's straight from his Twitter account. Podcast a personal friend.
There you go.
No, just a news release. Also, I should point out, I don't know if you guys saw it, but one of the big reasons Nebraska lost against Texas last week was they pulled Taylor Martinez because he had a hand injury, but he's also going to be starting this week too, so I don't know how bad of an injury it must have been. Let's see. Next one up on the docket is North Carolina at Miami. Miami is a 6-point favorite.
Yeah, I really never know what to say about North Carolina. They've officially dismissed Marvin Austin. They
lost another cornerback this week too, officially from the NCAA.
They keep winning some football games. I mean, who else did they lose to besides us? I don't even really know. And Miami is just kind of—I mean, they're Jekyll and Hyde. Man, they laid an egg against Florida State 2 weeks ago, and you know, it's—I really don't know what to get out of them. I mean, I kind of think North Carolina can go in and hang with Miami and cover that 6.5. I don't know if they win, but I think they cover.
See, to me, this is flip a coin, and that's exactly what I did when I made my picks. I flipped the freaking coin because I'm like you. Miami, I can't predict them to save my life. North Carolina, you don't know what the hell's going on with that program. You know, so do they play for pride just to win it out? As much as I want to pick North Carolina, I've been back and forth, and I'll probably change it again tomorrow. But as of tonight, I'm picking Miami.
All right, next, Notre Dame travels to Annapolis to face Navy. Notre Dame is a 6-point favorite in this one, but,
I like Navy to cover. I think Navy might knock off Notre Dame again.
No, not 2 years in a row. I don't think. Not even Navy has that in them. So, I think Notre Dame, they're going to pull one out. And this is going to be a game they're going to pull out because nobody even cares about it.
All right. While we're on the subject, an interesting stat I saw this week that I thought was pretty funny. If Army had won that game last week, all three service academies would have had a better winning percentage than Notre Dame this season.
Wow.
Yeah.
Damn Army.
Yeah. Oh, well, let's see. Next one, Oklahoma travels to Missouri, both teams undefeated. Oklahoma is a 3-point favorite.
I don't know, man. I've been kind of... So
you get the emotion of game day. You got them there. Teams always play better with that. I don't know what you got.
I think we may have muted himself for the third time tonight.
I can't believe I'm doing this. I don't know what the hell I'm hitting. I have no idea what's going on. The hell with it. I'm going to pick Missouri. I'm going to pick Missouri to knock off Oklahoma because I know Missouri's not going to finish. You're going to defeat it. They're going to screw up and lose. Nebraska's going to beat them down the line anyway. So I'm picking Missouri to go ahead and upset Oklahoma and win.
No, I think Oklahoma, for a change, the number one team is actually going to win and not lose 2 weeks in a row. So I'm going to say Oklahoma breaks the trend this week and wins this game, and they're going to cover that spread in the win.
All right, next up, South Carolina at Vandy. South Carolina is a 12-point favorite.
I am going to go with Gamecocks. So I will give the 12.5.
Matt?
I will say that I'll have to go with Gamecocks as well and give the 12.5. I think they bounce back on this one.
All right, next up, it's only on here because they're both 1A programs. UAB at Mississippi State. Mississippi State's a 19-point favorite. Somehow this game is not in the Jefferson Pilot time slot.
Damn. That's because it's an SEC game, man. SEC matchup. The Bulldogs are rolling, man. They beat Florida. They're 5-2. They're quietly ranked 24 all of a sudden. Bodes well for us if we keep on winning, if they keep on winning. So, I like State to knock off the Blazers, and I like them to do it in big-time fashion. And I'll give the 19.5 and take Mississippi State.
Yeah, I'm going to give the 19.5, too, and they're going to beat the crap out of UAB. I mean, and besides the fact that we want them to keep winning, we want them to win big, so better for us. That's another reason I'm picking them.
Right.
All right, next one, another surprising, what should be a very good Big Ten matchup, Wisconsin at Iowa, both the teams with one loss. Iowa is favored by 5 points.
Yeah, I don't know this is a letdown game because Wisconsin coming off a big win of Ohio State has to travel now to Travel to Iowa, which is another very good team. Wisconsin kind of riding an emotional wave. I still think we'll keep it close. I don't know if they win. But 5.5 points for Big Ten teams that don't really play a lot of offense. I like Wisconsin to keep it close, and I like this game by field goal either way. So I'm gonna take the points and take Wisconsin.
No, I can't. I say Wisconsin – They haven't played enough big games to be able to hold their own. They'll have to prove it to me this week that they can do it, and I just don't think they will. Iowa seems to have gotten it on track since they lost to Arizona. So I think Iowa's going to take this. Not a problem.
All right, and that, of course, leads us to the last game on the docket, which is ours. LSU at Auburn, number 6 versus number 5. CBS. SEC 3:00 or 2:30 rather, with Vern and Gary and the whole crew. Auburn's favored by 6.
I don't know about you, Patrick, but I'm absolutely appalled at this thread. I know you get 3 points because, you know, for the home team and things like that, but you tell me on neutral field they think Auburn's 3.5 points better than us? I disagree. And this was an easy pick for me because not only did I think LSU's going to win, but LSU is going to play good enough defense. We're going to get scores on this too, as a matter of fact, because we're not coming to you live on Saturday. LSU going to make some defensive plays. Auburn very suspect in the secondary. I think we control the clock. I think we contain Cam Newton. We'll give up a play or two here and there, but I like LSU. And I like it in the same fashion that we beat Florida. I like LSU 30-26 on a last-minute touchdown drive, as we always tend to do with Auburn. This is going to be a game for the ages. I just have a feeling this is going to be a great game. It's going to give us a lot of headache and heartache, but hopefully just more headache than heartache at the end.
No, I agree with you that we're definitely going to win the game, and we're definitely going to cover the spread, you know, because they're going to win, obviously. But I think the game's going to go in a different direction. I think you really, truly going to see how good this defense is this week. I mean, we know it's good, but you're really going to see how good it is this week. We're going to hold Auburn to, and Mark, here I'm saying it now, we're going to hold them to 14 points, and we're going to score 27.
I like the attitude. I like the attitude. Make me feel good.
What's attitude? It's going to be on as soon as 10 o'clock hits Saturday morning, and I open that bottle of Crown, too.
Yeah. Make me jealous. I want to not work so bad, but I have to. Gotta put in my dues. I pay my dues on the away game weekend, so I don't want to offend too many people over there. So, it's time to get up now. It's 9:30 on Thursday night.
Yeah,
work's gonna suck all day. Work's gonna suck all day tomorrow. I'm gonna hang my LSU flags in the morning. Work's gonna suck Saturday. I'm gonna be itching to get out of there. I cannot wait. This is why I play football. This is why I'm a fan. And I can't wait. This is gonna be so awesome. I cannot wait for this game. It's good to be excited about football. It's just good to be excited about football again. It's just good to be playing for something right now this late in the season. It just feels good. I mean, it has a different feeling than the Alabama game did last year. It just does for me. You know,
you got a little pride in it, right?
We went to Tuscaloosa last year, and I thought, you know, maybe we'd play well, and maybe we can shock them and beat them last year. But I'm kind of going into this game, and I'm just expecting LSU to win because we play good defense. We're playing very good defense, and I just think we're kind of making some plays in the passing game now, and they have a struggling offense. I mean, they have a struggling secondary. So I think we can exploit that a little bit. And I think in the end, like you say, we make more plays than them. In the end, that's what I think is going to happen.
Exactly, and I think Cam Newton's Heisman, he mocks down to number 3 after this game.
That's what I'm talking about. Pac, you have anything else to add? Man of many words. The fan talk champ.
No words.
Okay.
He's
silent. Yeah, don't speak.
Except that there is one thing I should point out. On the site, and I've linked to it before, and I'm going to link to it again on Friday, the SEC in their infinite wisdom decided that this week's online viewable archive game would be the barn burner. And it is great to see ESPN lose their minds as the Auburn Athletic Building burns to a crisp in the background of that game.
I would like to state my innocence once and for all. Yes, I was in the stadium, but I was in my seat watching the game.
Where you were, because even though I didn't know you at that point, I'll vouch for your whereabouts.
Thank you. I was in the corner of the end zone. I don't know if it was south, north, east, or west, but it was the LSU sideline in the corner of the end zone. Probably 10 feet away from the band, and I did not start that fire. So, bad to get off my back.
Start the fire.
That was crazy. I've been telling people that story all week because it's something I forgot about, and it happened because it's been 14 years now. It was 1996. I mean, that was Jerry DiNardo. Booger McFarland was defensive tackle. Herb Powell was quarterback. And I just remember hearing a loud boom. It's a loud boom, and all of a sudden you look behind you, and there's flames shooting up from from behind the stadium. just crazy.
All the memories.
Just one of those things. LSU Auburn games always have names. You know, cigar game, earthquake game, barn burner game, interception game, bring back the magic game. This is to be the official Cam Newton no longer being considered for the Heisman game, in my opinion. Go Tigers. We're done.